There is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free. And things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it. No matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Good evening and welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. For those of you that are joining us here for the second hour, we've got a great lineup coming up for you. From the Supernatural Summit, which will be coming up here in a couple of, about a week, we've got Todd Bates and Dwayne Claude that'll be joining us. This evening, though, before we get into that, I want to make one quick more mention. A lot of people wanted to know about the upcoming ghost hunt and tour that we're going to do. It's going to be the first weekend in June. It'll be June 2nd through the 4th. We've set up a paranormal weekend retreat in Warwick, Rhode Island, the home to TV's Ghost Hunters. The price to attend the weekend-long event is only $120, and that price includes the following: Friday night lecture with Keith and Carl Johnson, the twin demonologists and paranormal investigators on Ghost Hunters. It's a two-hour lecture starting at 8:30, and they'll discuss Rhode Island vampire lore demonology cases that they've worked on, other paranormal investigations, and they have some amazing evidence amassed that they'll be sharing with us that night as well. Afterwards, we'll do a question and answer with Carl, Keith, and our two main attractions for the weekend, Steve and Paula from TV show Ghost Hunters will be joining us. Then on Saturday, the 3rd of June, we get to enjoy a free breakfast at the hotel. And we have a really neat deal. After lunch, we're going to be getting together with Steve and Paula to go off to the TAPS headquarters, the ones you see on TV. We're going to get a chance to go in for a tour, take pictures, etc., have a fun time, and there might even be a few surprise guests hanging around the TAPS office. Then you're invited to attend dinner with the Ghost Hunters at a local dining establishment where we'll be joined by Steve, Paula, and most likely Keith and Carl, and hopefully a few more of the TAPS members if they're in town. Then the fun stuff begins. We go back to the hotel, which is a haunted hotel. There are two spirits that inhabit this hotel. One is a grizzled old man that stays in the basement, kind of a creepy guy who actually appears in full spirit form. Will come up to your face, start yelling, but there makes no sound. The other spirit is the spirit of a deceased woman that committed suicide on the third floor. A lot of people get crazy misty pictures and hear the sound of weeping coming from the room. So it's a fantastic opportunity for you to be a part of that. We're going to do an investigation. Steve and Paula will show us proper use of equipment and methods of ghost hunting. We'll split up in a few groups to investigate the hotel so everybody gets a chance to work with one of the ghost hunters and get a chance to do a Q&A with them. We're going to also do some fantastic drawings throughout the weekend where you can win things like season one on DVD, a subscription to TAPS Paramag, TAPS Paramag t-shirts, TAPS t-shirts, and other autographed TAPS merchandise. Once all of the slots have been filled for this event, we're going to open it up to 60 people. Once we've sold out all 60 spots, Tim and I will do a live drawing here on the radio. We'll draw two people that have paid for the spots to be there, and we'll give them a refund of their money, and they'll get to attend that weekend for the admission price will be free to them. So make sure that you get your time in quick and get available the slots that you want to join up. Come with you, your relatives, friends, whatever you'd like to do. If you are 18, you're welcome to join us. If you're younger than 18, you must be with an adult. Again, the $120 is a non-refundable fee, as it will be sold on a first-come, first-served basis, as we have to pay for things in advance to make sure that the arrangements and accommodations are set up for us. The $120 will cover your admission to all of the events I've mentioned. It does not cover your hotel, travel, or meals, but you are guaranteed a fun, entertainment, exciting weekend by coming out with us. There's more information about this on our website at darknessradio.com. On the homepage, there's a link for you to click. Open it up. You'll be able to read all about it. There are 60 spots open. Again, as I mentioned, you must be at least 18 to attend. And I hope to have you join us. Tim and I will be there as your hosts for the entire weekend. Our phone girl, Robin, will probably be joining us as well. But now we go back to our guests this evening. We have the Supernatural Summit, which is coming up. and that's in New York, Rochester, New York, on April 29th and 30th. And we've got two fantastic guests with us this evening. We've got Todd Bates, who's the keynote speaker at this year's Supernatural Summit. He'll be focusing on electronic voice phenomena. EVPs, as we know, are a collection of disembodied voices that you get via digital or analog recording devices. He's formed his own research organization and over the past 6 years has been investigating this mysterious phenomena. It was his with this collection of evidence that led Todd to create a website dedicated to EVP research and education. You can check out his website at www.hauntedvoices.com. Our second guest that's joining Todd is Dwayne, and Dwayne, is it Dwayne Claude?
Yes, it is.
Okay, Dwayne Claude works as a public relations specialist for regional medical firms by day, and by night carries an avid interest in the paranormal. For the past 4 years, Dwayne has conducted paranormal investigations in Ohio, West Virginia, and throughout Western New York. He was an avid working knowledge of the spiritual realm and scientific means behind investigating the paranormal. He blends a strong mix of science with faith, and Dwayne's area of interest include EVP and demonology. Gentlemen, thank you for joining us tonight on The Darkness.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Appreciate having you here with us. So you've got the Supernatural Summit. Let's talk for a few minutes a little bit about that. That's coming up next weekend, correct?
Yes, it's coming up next Friday and Saturday in Rochester, New York.
Okay. And people that would like to attend the seminar or the summit, the cost for the entire weekend is?
$75 for the entire weekend.
Okay.
And that includes access to over 30 different workshops throughout the course of the weekend, and we have over 20 speakers coming. All specialists in the field, and the price includes not only admission to the workshops but lunches and also admission to a paranormal trade show.
Okay, and there's also a psychic fair available, correct?
Also a psychic fair too.
Okay, fantastic. And you're going to have, now Todd, you're going to be doing the presentation about EVPs and collecting EVPs, correct?
Right. I'm going to be doing several of them. I'm going to do a basic course, an advanced course, but really looking forward to it.
Could you tell us a little bit, Todd, here? We'll start off with you. I've got a huge interest in electronic voice phenomena myself. It's something that I've been interested in, but I see there are so many flaws with the technology out there. What got you started, first of all, in collecting EVPs? Was it accidental or...?
Well, yeah, to be honest, I was completely skeptical about the whole thing.
Okay.
And my mother-in-law, my wife, kind of pushed me to go to a local haunted tour, you know, just kind of to see how it was, you know. And we went out to an old general store, and that's where I captured my first EVP. It was actually of an animal. As a matter of fact, it was a horse that was neighing in a barn. And it just kind of baffled me because there was no horses in there whatsoever. It was just an old beat-up barn. And from that point on, I guess to kind of save my mental capacity, I wanted to figure out why and how this got onto the analog tape. So that's when I began, you know, researching it really heavy, doing a lot of reading and experimentation.
Well, if I could ask you one thing, you know, it's funny, as we get older, we ignore so many signs and things that may have been paranormal that we didn't know. When I was a kid, I used to have that, you know, the little black tape recorder, and you go get those 3-pack of tapes from places like Kmart or Walmart, whatever it was.
Right.
I used to go out there, and something that always bothered me was, as you know, on those old tapes, you record on one side, you play, you know, record on the other, and sometimes there was bleed through on both sides. Well, there were a couple times I would buy a tape, plug it in, record on it, play it back, and I'd be picking up weird noises and sounds. And, you know, I was 8, 9, 10 years old. I just assumed that maybe they had tested the tapes before and hadn't wiped them clean. You know, in retrospect, kind of looking back now, I'm wondering if I was in fact picking up EVPs. I've always believed that the house I grew up in was haunted. My mom and dad have as well. So, I mean, there's something to it. But do you think that there are a lot of people that kind of experience has happened to? And has that happened to you where you just thought, what the heck? You know, and then realized that, you know, in retrospect, you're actually getting EVPs.
Yes, I think that's happened to a lot of people. And a lot of those tapes that contain that kind of evidence are sitting in their closet because they have no idea that they're there, or they don't want to pull them out because people are going to think they're a little bit nutty.
Right.
But as far as having the tapes, we only use one side of the tape for one thing, and one thing you do have to watch out for is with your cheaper grades, your cheaper brands like your Gemini brands and so forth, some of those are even made from recycled tape. So you want to find use your Sonys, your Maxells, brands like that, that are normally a lot more pure Your older grades, even your old reel-to-reel recorders, those are being recycled now from old analog tapes. So there's always that chance where somebody can say, oh, that's bleed over. That's, you know, so-and-so from, you know, 20 years ago that made a recording. They're always, the skeptics are always going to throw that at you.
Sure. Well, and that's what, you know, I thought that was what was funny now in retrospect, being a little kid and trying to rationalize those things away for myself. Oh, it must have just been a recycled tape, or they tested the tapes and forgot to clear it, and I'm picking up what used to be on the tape. You know, I mean, I was 9-10 years old. That wasn't, you know, I don't even know if they ever did that kind of stuff, but it was a lot easier for me to convince myself that's what it was than to even consider anything else. The other
that's
thing,
definitely a lot easier on mine.
If I could ask you about Todd as well, I used to have this little, it was like a radio. It was an AM/FM radio, but you could also talk to CB people on it, as long as they were like within a mile from you. And I used to love this thing, you know, and we'd go on rides in the car and I'd push the button and I'd get to talk to CBers. But there were a few times when I was at home, I would be playing with this thing in my room and, you know, I'd push the button and I'd say, is there anybody there? And once in a while I'd get this really kind of creepy, echoey voice that would come back at me, and it would respond in conversation form, but it knew too much. And that used to freak me the hell out. Because it wasn't like, you know, I was saying, hey, my name's Dave, and I'm 10 years old or whatever, you know, and wearing my Batman pajamas, hanging out in my room. But he'd be like, you know, the voice would come back and say, are you comfortable in your pajamas? And, but it was this weird, echoey kind of, oh, man, it freaked me out. But I was like, what the hell have I got going here? And it got so bad after a while. I see, at that point, I thought it was aliens because of the weird tinny sound and the voice. But I mean, do you think that that's what was cluing in? I was picking up ghosts, or I mean, what's your take on it? Being an expert in this field,
be very, very careful.
Okay,
those I don't hold much credit in the AM/FM or shortwave bands just for that reason.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of people that do pick up messages like that, and I'm not totally debunking them, but there's so much room for error. You know, we have all these frequencies in the air.
Right,
they just might pick up on one. I mean, you could be being played with by a trucker or your neighbor. We've had,
well, mind you, that was 29 years ago now, so it wasn't, you know, it wasn't all the frequencies that we're being bombarded with now.
If it wasn't like an intelligent answer, like if you were asking a specific,
well, that's
question,
what I'm saying. Yeah, it would talk to me, you know, and I'd only usually let it go about five or six back and forth replies before I'd turn it off and be freaked out for the rest of the night. And like I said, it would make comments about something in my room or something that I was doing or wearing.
Clean your room.
Yes, clean your room. That was my mom.
Clean your room.
It was never anything that cool, but it was this creepy, echoey voice, and it would always say stuff. And I mean, it wasn't like perverted stuff or anything weird. It was just like it was letting me know that it could see what I was, where I was at. I say what I was doing, it makes me sound like I was doing something dirty.
Peeping trucker.
Yes. But
that is very possible. I mean, it is. They might be using a particular frequency to come through on that channel.
Well, have you noticed that with that kind of stuff, that they get that real echoey sound? It didn't sound like anything else. There were no other CBs, and it was always this really echoey, creepy tune. You know, I mean, just, ugh.
Right. It's almost as if they're using that particular band, but they're not able to use it as well as what we have here. They might be farther away. Kind of look at it in a dimensional aspect. They might be, you know, kind of look at the, a good example would be your bank tellers. You have them up front, and let's say you have another few stations behind them. Well, you're trying to talk to the teller there on the third station behind. You really can't hear them very well.
Right.
And they might come through a little bit distorted. Not like the first. So you kind of, they may manipulate the energy in that way to come through, and that's why it sounds a little stretched and tinny. It's just kind of, it has to go through a lot to get to the source.
Do you find that a lot of the voices are not necessarily the voice of the person that, you know, I mean, my grandpa's coming through to me on my tape recorder, but it doesn't sound like his voice, but he's answering it as my grandfather would. Would that be that's just because that's the only way they can manipulate the sound waves to speak back with you now?
Yes, that is very, very common.
Okay.
You might be speaking to a family member and not even know it, because, you know, you don't recognize their voice. Well, maybe in in, you know, the next life, they can't, they don't have vocal cords like we do.
Right.
They have to manipulate energy and frequencies and so forth. And in doing so, they might use some other band that's in the air that sounds totally different than what they used to. But they can still, you know, they still have the same emotions. So a lot of people still pick up that it is a family member, even though it doesn't sound like one.
Well, with the EVPs that you've been collecting, do you get more than just, you know, one or two word responses? I mean, have you ever had an opportunity where you're actually carrying on a you know, three or four sentence, you know, conversation where you could ask a question, they'd keep responding back and forth for three or four times? Or most EVPs just a random statement or you know, an answer to one question and nothing else?
The majority that we have captured have been random. Now, there have been a couple that we've captured that are in length. I'd say the most amazing one we had was actually a reverse file of the forward meeting. It said, "Please help me," and you reversed it. It said, "Into the light." That was probably one of the lengthiest ones we've had. But I think the reason
why it was reversed, you could play it back. See, I've been curious about that. There are some EVPs I've heard that have got that kind of, you know,
right?
I'm like,
exactly.
You can't figure out what the hell it's saying. But I've often wondered, is it backmasking in some sense? Why do you
I don't believe it is?
Okay.
I really don't. I think that it's almost as if that entire vocal frequency there is being reversed. Not necessarily the wording inside of it, but the frequency itself. Because we've even captured some that has a female forward and a male voice in reverse. It's amazing. I was skeptical about the whole reverse speech until it happened to me personally when I captured on one recorder a forward meeting. And then on a separate recorder that was about 20 feet away, I captured the same recording, but it was captured in reverse. I had to actually reverse it to hear it forward. So that was that was odd, and that's what kind of got me going on. And it's still fairly new. It's really experimental, and it's really got a lot of errors in it because human speech sounds totally garbled when you reverse it, and it's hard to really put it in a good light right now.
Sure.
I mean, it's still fairly new.
What type of equipment do you recommend for people that are interested in getting involved with collecting electronic voice phenomena?
Basic home equipment. I cannot stress that enough. Do not go out. I mean, sure, if you have the money to blow, sure, go right ahead. But don't think you have to have high-tech equipment. You can do this with home shoebox analog recorders, digital recorders. It's really inexpensive. You can even get a free software program. It's called WavePad. I use Adobe Audition, but there's better software, you know, if you have the money to pay for it.
Sure.
But there's free software out there available to help, you know, with the uploading. Just use your basic home equipment. Go to Walmart and get you something. You don't have to...
But do you recommend digital recorders over the analog tapes?
Oh, that's a popular question. no, I'm going to recommend analog every time, especially for the beginner.
Oh, okay. Why is that?
Because with the analog, I think that you capture less EVP, but they're a lot more clear. And by having the analog recorder for the beginner, it's a lot easier to kind of judge them because you can just play them straight from the recorder most of the times and hear them. There's usually no editing that's required or any kind of intervention like that. You can just simply play it, hear it, and then, you know, act from there. It's just easier for the beginner. You know, for the more advanced, you have your digital, which involves, it's just a different concept altogether. It's two totally different ways that they're captured.
Do you believe, though, that with digital recorder, because of all the easily manipulated softwares out there, that maybe you are matrixing more?
Yes.
That analog is easier because you get a clearer, truer form?
Right, yeah, I will say that. It's almost, you know, it's like your 35-millimeter camera versus your digital.
Mm-hmm.
I just find that it's with the analog, it's a lot easier for the beginner, as well as the advanced too. I mean, don't get me wrong, but with the digital, you have more room for error. You know, the recorders, the technology's catching up with us. Sure, it's great, but I mean, come on, we're human. We're gonna try to make everything easier in there, and it kind of works like a video camera does with pictures. That the digital takes pictures of sound, and it's not necessarily 100% accurate. You can have a lot of false positives in there, but you can capture EVP with digital, don't get me wrong, and I do use them, They're more convenient. They're cheaper.
Right.
But I think for the beginner, just go analog, yeah.
Well, Dwayne, you do it quite a bit with EVP as well.
Yes.
What do you two both recommend? Do you recommend the external mics or the internal mics?
Definitely the external. You get away from a lot of the tape noise.
Okay.
The actual motor sounds. The one thing you do have to be careful with, though, is movement, because you don't want a lot of rustling from the microphones. So a lot of the EVPs that we'll do, you know, we set up a stationary place to conduct the EVP sessions.
Okay, so you set up the recorder, put the mic down, and then just let it record, or do you ask questions back and forth?
Normally we'll ask questions.
Okay.
It seems to work a lot better that way for us. And one of the things that at least our group uses, and we can let Todd key in on this, but we always make sure that we use omnidirectional microphones, so you pick up sound from all areas.
Okay.
As opposed to just in front of the microphone.
So again, that's omnidirectional microphones. And can those be purchased at places like Radio Shack? Make it real easy?
Yes.
Okay. For everybody that's just tuning in this evening, we're listening to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. Our guests are Todd Bates and Dwayne Claude, and they are hosting the Supernatural Summit. Will be coming up this weekend in New York. They're here to talk to us about their experiences, what they're bringing to it, tell us a little bit about the summit. We also are actually going to hear a question from my co-host, which is very rare. We'll be right back with more right after this.
Adopting aliens and giving them good homes since 1953. Just don't tell our landlord.
Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
It's Dave and Tim shacking up in the darkness on the edge of town.
If you read Tapper Mag every month, you'll be able to tell the difference between the absurd.
I do not go to work because Bigfoot stole my car.
And the creepy. Tapper Mag takes you where few would ever go on purpose. From exclusive interviews with the cast of The Ghost Hunters to the latest trends in technology, the field of the paranormal. To join our journey, order at TapsParamag.com.
Try not to fall asleep. We'll only give you nightmares. Welcome back to the darkness on the edge of town.
Good evening and welcome back to the darkness on the edge of town. Paranormal radio show. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Along with me, as always, Timmy Dennis. And Tim has got a question for our two guests this evening. Our guests are Todd Bates and Dwayne Claude. They're going to be with the Supernatural Summit, which is coming up this weekend, which is it's a weekend, right? 28th, 29th?
Correct.
In Rochester, New York. And if you want more information about the summit, you can go to supernaturalsummit.com. Go ahead, Tim. What kind of question do you have for the guys?
Actually, Todd, you said something that really made quite a bit of sense to me, and that was that you'd want to use analog over digital. Digital is a much cleaner sound. Now, let me ask you about this. Have you ever used a DAT or a digital audio tape and a DAT recorder with an external mic? And why is it, two-part question here, in your guys' opinion, do you never get an EVP in Dolby 5.1?
Okay, as far as using a DAT, no, I can't afford it. I'll just flat out say that. Those are expensive.
I can get a hold of one and use one in a ghost hunt if I really wanted to. But I'm interested to see what kind of effect you're going to have, if anything.
Well, it's cool, Tim, because then when you're in your car, you can hear the ghost run from one side of your car all the way to the other side.
Now, you know, as far as that, yes, definitely try it. Who's to say? If anything that, basically anything that can record, you have that possibility. I've captured them on a cell phone, a Palm Pilot. There's all kinds of things you can capture them on. But as far as, you know,
now, what do you mean you captured it on a cell phone?
Your newer cell phones, they have like a 3 or 4 minute recording time.
Right. But aren't you
over dictating?
Aren't you opening that up to just picking up signal somewhere?
Sure. You're opening all of that up. According to the skeptics here, I'm going to kind of get on their side for a second, because you have to be skeptical when it comes to it. Who's to say that these shortwave bands aren't coming in and imprinting? Who's to say that you're not picking up some kind of radio wave and it's coming in there somehow? We don't know how those work. We can't really control something like that. So sure, there's that possibility. 98% of it can be explained. It's that 2% that I'm looking for anyway.
Okay.
And with having you know, those recording devices, sure, there's always that kind of room. You could have something as simple as a 35-millimeter film advance. When if somebody's taking pictures during a recording session, it can come off and sound just like Mama. Mm. You know, you can sit there and matrix back and forth.
Sure.
And you can hear anything you want. I mean, if you sit there long enough and listen to even white noise, you're going to hear the Gettysburg Address if you want to.
Well, see, I used to get that a lot with our, not the Gettysburg Address, but, you know, after the fourth or fifth time you've heard 47 years ago, actually with, I have to sleep with a fan in my room. I need the sound. Actually, what I think it is I don't want to hear the other creepy sounds going around me in the house. When I grew up, I always heard weird stuff, so I'd flip my fan on so I didn't have to hear it. But when the fan was on, I could hear voices that were just outside. It wasn't, I hesitate to call it matrixing because they were clear voices. It was just like, it was just far enough out of my earshot that I couldn't hear what the conversation was. Or I would hear music.
Right.
Okay.
That's where it gets hard to explain.
Okay.
With the white noise, okay, mm-hmm. Keep in mind, with true white noise, that's basically every audible sound band all wrapped into one. Okay? So that's why you're going to hear this soothing hiss, is because your brain cannot process all those individually. Now, if you were to hand pick some of those out of true white noise, it could burst your eardrums. They're just all mixed in there. But with EVP and in reference to that, the actual spirits may choose one of those particular frequencies and kind of ride it in like a wave, so to speak. Use it for a second, and it kind of puts your mind in a state to where it's not really thinking is hard. It kind of went into a safe mode. That's why when you hear the fan, it blocks out all kinds of different noises. But, I mean, then again, the fan's not true white noise. True white noise, like I said, contains all of it, and it's really irritating to us to listen to. It's not soothing. But with that, you know, the spirits may use those frequencies inside to actually come through a little bit better. It's not, you know, 100% accurate, and it could be our mind playing tricks on us. That's the whole thing with the human mind. We have no clue.
Okay. Yeah, well, I know a couple of women that had no clue, and I married them. Just kidding. Just kidding, ladies. The check's in the mail, I promise. Going back, now, we do have some EVPs that you were kind enough to send over to us, Todd, so maybe you could give us the heads up on a couple of these. Sure. A couple of them were longer ones. Tim, which ones do we have first?
I got Candle.
The ones that are longer, instead of just a one word, there were a couple of them that were longer.
You should get That's My Daddy, Do You Believe?
Yeah, do the second one you mentioned.
That's My Daddy?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're
back. Now, I can hear that really clearly at the end. It's right at the end of that. Play it one more time for us, Tim.
Yeah, we're back.
So now, what kind of investigation or where were you that you were doing this?
That one has a really touching story behind it. We were actually at an old schoolhouse with that one, and we had one of our investigators, her daughter, had passed away a few years ago, and she had brought her husband along, and we went inside the old schoolhouse, and what you're hearing is my mother-in-law, when we're coming back in, we always announce when we're going back into the building, and we were coming back in, that's when we captured that little girl, and immediately, when her name's Tammy, when she heard this, she burst into tears. I mean, she was really, really upset. She'd recognized her daughter's voice. That's her daughter's voice. And it was, she was saying, "That's my daddy," because she had, you know, Tammy's husband was there. And it was almost as if that little spirit was pointing up at him and saying, "That's my daddy," because he was walking in right behind my mother-in-law.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was really, really intense.
Well, hit it one more time for me, Tim, would you?
Yeah, we're back.
That almost sounds like a little southern accent on the little girl.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's creepy. That's a really good one. That's one of the few. So most of the ones I hear have got that real garbled or that, you know.
Yeah,
you gotta try to figure out what they're. Yeah, exactly.
That's due to overcorrection.
go ahead, Tim. What else have we got going over there?
You should get Do You Believe.
Do You Believe? Yeah, that's a good one too. Let's hear that one. Now, where were you when you were collecting that one?
That one was captured in my own home. That was captured by my wife. That was captured in my daughter's bedroom after a trip back from the Sally house. And we had a few problems when we came home, and it was really playing with my 4-year-old daughter, and it was in her room, and my wife had went in there with that was captured on a digital recorder, and she went in there with the digital, and she captured that after my daughter claimed she saw a doctor in her room.
Let's hear it again, Tip. Now, Dwayne, if you could answer, I know you're into the demonology aspect of things. Do you think that by, you know, trying to incorporate or trying to get EVPs, are you inviting evil to come into your life like this?
No, I really don't. There's a real fine line between, you know, I guess some people could look at EVP as being a an initial point of contact for something, but it's not necessarily an invitation. A lot of the cases that I have dealt with regarding demonology tend to be more people that have some sort of openings in their life, where they've done something to actually forcibly bring something into their life. For instance, using a Ouija board, using magic, things along that lines. Really, for the most part, going in and capturing EVPs is more of a passive type experiment than it is aggressive.
But isn't it just as aggressive as using a Ouija board? I mean, you're asking questions and seeking answers from something. You're inviting something in to answer you.
But with EVP, you're actually talking to something that's already there.
Okay.
With a Ouija board, you're opening a doorway to bring something in.
Thank you, Dwayne.
Right. I guess I don't know. I'm sorry, guys. I'm a little thick on this stuff. I don't understand the difference. If I'm asking a spirit, I mean, how do I know that the spirit that's talking to me through the Ouija board isn't already in the room with me or isn't already a part of my circle, if you will?
You know, you don't.
Okay.
But on the same token, you know,
I guess what my concern really comes down to is, you know, with Todd just telling us that was in his kid's room, I could tell you, Todd, I would have had to move out. Because my wife would have heard it, and I wouldn't have even had a chance to stop the recorder, and my bags would have been packed.
Well, I'll be honest, I'm a little bit familiar with the case Todd's talking about, and chances are that is something that was invited back to the house. I don't think that's a normal spirit.
Okay.
Based on some of the situations we've discussed.
Was it a diabolical, do you think, or?
From what I know of the case, I would say yes.
Okay. See, that's my fear, is getting involved in this and opening myself up this way. You know, I've got kids, you know. I don't want to bring creepy stuff home.
Well, that's one thing that I really stress is not to record in your own home. There's a lot of people that do.
Right.
This is kind of our space.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe they can follow you home, and just as Dwayne said with that case, I don't necessarily know enough about demonology to talk about it or to claim anything, but if there is such a thing, yes, he is 100% correct. It is more than likely diabolical, like you said, yes.
Okay. So you recommend don't record in your home, because I thought, too, if you start trying to pull up EVPs in your own home, aren't you asking for other spirits to come? Because once you kind of open that conduit and they know that you're trying to make these connections, isn't it real easy for all types of crazy stuff to start showing up?
I think so, yeah. So I think once you acknowledge them.
I got to tell you, the one weird thing is, you know, I've got a little guy, and, you know, shortly after I started this radio show, all of a sudden he had a ton of invisible friends at our house. So that's been a real concern. I mean, he's a great kid, and nothing ever really seems to scare him, but he'll come in and he'll say, Dad, can my friends spend the night? And I'm like, sure, they can spend the night, you know? And then sometimes he'll come in and he'll go, Dad, tell my friends they have to go home. And then I don't want them to spend the night. And, you know, I don't know what to do. I don't want to scare my kids with this. And what the hell do you, you know? But I mean, what do you, are those signs? Are those things I should be worried about as a parent?
With the imaginary friends, mm-hmm. so to speak, definitely pay attention.
Okay.
They're not necessarily making that up all the time.
Right.
I've had a couple cases to where the mother was seeing her son talking to somebody in a closet, and she just thought it was an imaginary friend and so forth until they heard voices come through on the baby monitor. They had the baby monitor, of course, in his room, and they were laying in bed, and they heard him talking, and they heard someone answer him. So, of course, immediately they called someone, and yeah, you can have that. Don't listen to your kids. You know, they're, and I'm sure Dwayne will agree, at that age, they're extremely open-minded.
Sure.
And they haven't been trained to close them yet, so they're susceptible to a lot of things like that.
Dwayne, how do I go about protecting? How do people like myself who are just getting involved in the paranormal and investigating and learning this stuff? You're into demonology. What do you recommend that we do to protect ourselves? I mean, do we rub the doorways with garlic and holy water? Do we, you know?
Well, you know, it really, you have to find your faith. And I know a lot of investigators have difficulty separating their faith from the science.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's important that before you go into any investigation that you say some sort of prayer protection that, you know, allows your team to be safe while investigating a certain location. And, you know, that's bringing whatever faith is that you believe in there to protect you as a shield. And before you leave, you know, say a prayer of closing that will make everything remain at that home. And in effect, basically taking away any permissions that you've given it to leave with you. I know that's difficult for a lot of investigators, but what tends to happen is once something has followed somebody home, then mm-hmm. they start to see how important their faith is in this process. You know, you're talking about your son talking to imaginary friends.
Right.
You know, I agree with Todd. You never dismiss something like that. And on the same token, if he tells you that he wants them to go home, by all means, you know, tell what's there to leave, that it's not welcome.
Okay.
You know, always err on the side of caution.
Not challenge it? I mean,
no, definitely.
I shouldn't say not challenge it, but isn't that challenging it by saying, you know, you're not welcome here, it's time for you to go home?
Well, the thing is...
Or is that just making something to make my son more comfortable?
Well, you know, it could be twofold. I mean, okay. It may make your son more comfortable. But on the same token, these type of entities, if it is diabolical or if it is spiritual, there really are a set of laws that these things live by. And mm-hmm. and one of these is the law of invitation. It's one of the most basic laws that there is. And...
kind of like the old vampire movies.
Exactly.
You can't enter your home unless you ask him in.
Exactly. It's the same thing. You know, if you tell something that, you know, it's not welcome there, any permission that you may have given it, you're now taking back, it needs to leave because this is your home, then your belief in God's going to make that happen. I know I'm getting a little theological here.
No, that's fine. But what about the people? You know, this is funny to me. I have a lot of friends that I've made on their bulletin boards and I've met at the different paranormal sites who are into ghosts, believe in this, believe in that, but they have no faith in God
mm-hmm.
or don't believe a God exists. And I am not trying to get up on my theological soapbox either, but what if you don't have a faith in a God? Are you just screwed? There's no protection for you? I mean, praying to Elvis Presley? That's right, man. Get away, ghosts.
I love these guys, I'm telling you.
You know, that's a real interesting question. And I've had to walk away from a lot of cases that, I shouldn't say a lot of cases, but a few cases where the people just didn't believe in anything. And unless you have that shield behind you or in front of you, you know, you may not get rid of what's there. And, you know, it could be a very difficult thing because a lot of times when people go through situations like that, one of two things happen. It either makes their faith or it breaks their faith. And, you know, it's hopefully going to make their faith and they see the power that's behind it.
Well, now you've got so many different forms of religion, and I know we've had a lot of people on who've told us that you go in and you try to respect in these hauntings, especially diabolicals, whatever religion they believe in, and you ask to pray in their faith or whatever. Now, to me, that almost sounds like it's a psychological thing because, you know, if you know, Ronald McDonald is my God and I pray to him and all of a sudden these ghosts go away, you know, I mean, what does that say about faith and religion? Do you know what
it
I mean?
It says you're hungry for a burger.
Yes.
That's what it says.
It's not so bad, but when I hear from my closet, have it your way, have it your way. But no, No, but you know what I mean? I mean, everybody's got a different faith. Right. You know, the Native Americans, there's many spirits and many gods. There's, you know, the Norse gods. There's the this gods, the that gods. There's the God, supposedly, in the Christian belief. If you're praying to whatever God you believe in and it makes it go away, doesn't that mix with the... It's got to be psychological, or how can all of these gods coexist? Any word from the demonologist on that
one? Wow.
Well...
Here, you want another hit?
Whoa.
You know, I really wish I could answer that question, but I can't.
Good answer.
I really can't, you know, other than the fact that, you know...
Well, Tim, tell them what they lost.
So you guys are hotboxing at your place, too?
That was a tough one.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I'm not trying to get deep on it, but I know there are a lot of people, and I'm just curious about that. You know, if you guys had a spot on that, I didn't want to make you uncomfortable with it, and I'm sorry for that. But,
no?
Yeah, I was just curious what your concerns or your thoughts were with the whole basis of religion. Because that's the whole thing is, you know, I've had... I've noticed that I've had more of a crisis of faith in my belief system over the last year, and I know that seems to be coinciding with some weird stuff going on at home, but it also coincides right at the time that our radio show began in January. So is it just that I'm a conduit for my, you know, bringing evil into my home now, or do you recommend that that's when you start looking into your faith to shield this?
See, I was raised Catholic, okay, so I shouldn't be talking about this.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, exactly.
Me too, actually.
I think there's a cream Catholic that can clear that up.
Yeah, I don't practice it anymore. I don't necessarily agree with it. But
we have a support group that meets on Tuesdays and Thursdays. You're more than welcome to come by.
Okay, can I have the number? Just give that number to me after the show. I'm definitely going to hang out there. But no, with that, I don't, and Dwayne, don't kill me for this. But when I go in, I try to keep my religious beliefs in my back pocket.
Okay.
It just kind of, it's less for me to worry about. I know that probably sounds sacrilegious, what have you, but...
No, I think if you go in with a certain set of beliefs, I think that can screw up your investigation.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying I don't believe in God, mm-hmm. okay, because trust me, I do. There is somebody.
Sure.
But see, I haven't seen him.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't and you? I haven't seen.
He's got red hair and red nose, and he hangs out at McDonald's.
I mean, there's a book that says he exists. But there's actually no proof. Okay, right. Nobody's actually, you know, brought him forth and you know, interviewed him, so to speak. There's no proof that he exists.
Right.
But yet, I do believe in a higher power. But that's what I tell a lot of people, and a lot of people really kick me in the teeth for it. Is they don't believe in the actual ghost and spirit realm, but yet that they, you know, they say that they believe in God, and I say, well, have you seen him? No. Well, then, right. Well, and then they go off, you right. know, and then they, you know, I'm going to burn in hell and whatever.
That's okay. We'll have a room next to Tim and I.
I just try to balance them like that, and trust me, I do say quite a few silent prayers to myself before I enter, but once I go in, I'm, you know, just kind of numb to it. It's just one less thing I got to worry about.
So you don't believe, neither one of you believe then, that just by messing around with EVPs and things like that, that you are, in fact, inviting evil in. Do you think that by asking for a prayer protection before you start trying to collect EVPs or before you do an investigation can hinder the investigation? Because if you're shielding yourself in the white light or whatever your belief system is, couldn't that keep the spirits from being able to communicate with you?
That's never been my experience. I mean, we've so always been pretty successful collecting evidence.
Okay.
What it's really doing is it's more of an idea of keeping any negative energy away.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, you're trying to push the evil away, where, you know, normal spirits in the spiritual realm that we're going to be collecting EVPs from are not going to be affected.
You've got so many factors in there. When you go into one of these areas and you try to put something like that behind you or put a protection around you, there's some in there that are dominant. You have a dominant entity in that area that you just because you don't get any results doesn't mean that the area isn't active. Maybe this dominant spirit isn't letting anyone speak. you know, you could have situations like that too. I mean, it's not just you know, that you're totally, you know, excusing them all. Hey, you know, leave me alone. I just want to talk to these certain people. You're kind of opening up, and yeah, I can kind of see where you're going with the kind of channeling, so to speak, with EVP.
Right.
Is it like that?
I know that Lou Gentile, you know, not that he's the end-all, be-all to getting EVPs, but, you know, he's one of the only guys I've actually seen do it in person. And I noticed the really interesting thing that he does when he does the EVPs, and I've tried to do it when I'm out with Tim and we're doing an investigation, is the way he asks them in. He says, are there any spirits here that would like to communicate to me through this recording device?
Mm-hmm.
Are there any people, you know, any spirit, instead of saying, is there anybody here that would like to talk to me or communicate with me? He specifically, and, you know, I don't know if that was a mistake. I mean, that's why he asked it every time, but it sounded more like not inviting them into you, but inviting them into this unit to talk to you.
Right, yeah.
Okay.
I know Lou.
Okay.
I've had a few disagreements with him. He doesn't really like the way I do things due to software. I use, you know, software intervention and things like that. He kind of frowns on it. I also don't agree with him on the voice activation. But Lou definitely knows what he's talking about as far as capturing him, and that's probably a safeguard that he uses. It might be a psychological thing, but that's definitely something that he's consistent with. So I definitely respect him for that, because there are a lot of people that will just throw things out in the air. They're not consistent. So that could be a safeguard for him, and that might be, you know.
So you might recommend that might be a good way for people to do it if they're afraid to invite something into themselves by asking these innocuous, do you want to, you know, make connections with me, or do you want to communicate to me? It might be better to, you know, do you want to communicate to me through this phone or through this magic eight ball or whatever you want to use?
Yeah, sure, yeah. Okay. I wouldn't degrade that whatsoever.
So probably just what makes you comfortable, right? Whatever makes you feel secure and comfortable.
So.
Okay.
Well, yeah, if you're not comfortable, that's going to affect your results, I think. You know, your mindset plays a big part on it.
Well, now, Dwayne, we've got about 5 minutes left here. I want to mention one thing. With doing EVPs, I had something interesting played for me a while ago from a friend of mine that I made online here. And you're a demonologist, or you're into demonology, I should say. Are you a demonologist? Is it fair to call you?
I don't really know if anybody can really call themselves a demonologist.
Okay, but you study demonology.
But I study demonology, yes.
This is kind of an interesting theological thing. this guy was, collecting EVPs, and he was talking in a home where they believe a diabolical was.
Mm-hmm.
And and I'll do the creepy voice for effect so that I can really make people have some nightmares before they go to bed. But this was, I think, the eeriest thing I've ever heard. He won't let us play it on the air, but he didn't say I couldn't reenact it. He's talking, and he's doing a prayer beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got the recorder going, and you can hear him doing the prayer. And then, I can't remember the exact term, but he's saying about how God is here, God will protect me, God is this. And you clearly hear this voice go, I don't believe in God.
Mm-hmm.
And then he got shoved while he's doing the prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, if you're trying to protect yourself and you have a strong faith in God and you have a strong faith, mm-hmm. what's your, you know, I mean, as a, you know, somebody that studies demonology, you know, how strong is a demon that doesn't have faith in God? You know?
Well, I guess the way to look at it is no demon has faith in God because they're all fallen angels.
Okay.
But again, there's still a legal order to it. I mean, just because the demon doesn't believe in God doesn't mean that God doesn't have some control over them. I mean, because if you look at the Bible, I mean, basically God allows a demonic or diabolic to influence man, and it's more of a challenge to man to see if they'll accept the temptations.
Okay.
But on the same token, you know, there may be diabolic, but there's also angels. So the faith in God really isn't as important as the person's own faith in God,
mm-hmm.
because they can also call upon, you know, just the opposite of the diabolical, the angels or you know, the light of heaven to also assist them.
All right. Hey, I'm just, that, like I said, that kind of freaked me out to hear something rebut and strike out anyway.
Well, I did a case a few years ago where we were doing a cleansing in a home with a diabolical, and had called out its name, and you heard an auditory scream through the house that said, "You cannot command me." And it was heard on three different floors with everyone's ears, and was captured on multiple recorders. So, I mean...
Well, that's it, probably just trying to scare you out of there, thinking if it makes that kind of a rumble,
that
you're going to get the hell out of there, but it knows that you can command them and you can send them out or cast them out, correct?
Right, correct.
So usually they just use that fluff to try to spook you.
Yeah, as well as probably the shove that the gentleman received.
Right. Well, the thing was, he didn't hear the voice out loud. He heard it on the recorder afterwards.
Right.
So, yeah, it was kind of an interesting situation, but... I don't know. It's really interesting, and I appreciate having you guys on this evening and just scratching the surface with you. I'd love to have you both on, again here in the future, maybe after the summit, and get us a chance to talk to us about how the summit went for you, and get some more questions for you in the future here as well, if you guys are open to come back.
Absolutely.
Great. And Todd Bates, Todd, people can contact you by going to hauntedvoices.com.
Sure, you can go to hauntedvoices.com. There's plenty of contact areas there. Yeah, you can email me directly, toddbates@hauntedvoices.com.
Okay, and Dwayne, if people are having problems in the Western New York area and they'd like an investigation, they can go to your website, which is wnyparanormal.com, correct?
Correct.
Okay, and for people that are interested in attending the Supernatural Summit, all they have to do is go to supernaturalsummit.com. And there's all the information on there about how to go, the prices, and everything, correct? And that's coming up next Friday and Saturday?
That's correct.
All right, great. Well, gentlemen, I can't thank you enough for being on the show with us. I do hope that you'll be back with us again. It was a pleasure talking to you. You're entertaining. You're fun. You're really engaging. You've got some great insights, and I'd love to pick your brains a little bit deeper. I'm sorry we got such a shortcut hour here. It went a little bit quick for me this evening.
No problem. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, guys. Have a great night.
All right.
You're tuned into the Darkness on the Edge of Town radio show, and I'm your host, Dave Schrader, along with me, my co-host, Tim Dennis. Thank you very much for tuning in with us. Remember to check out our website for information on how you can attend the ghost hunting weekend that we're going to do in the first week of June in Warwick, Rhode Island. Next week, our show, April 30th, we've got Colm Kelleher. He's a research scientist and author. He received his PhD at Trinity College in Dublin, 21 years worth of experience in biochemistry field. In addition, he was the administrator for the Nevada Aerospace Company, Space Sciences, Inc. He was also the deputy administrator of the NIDS, where he led the investigation at Skinwalker Ranch. He currently works in the biotechnology sector. And he's going to be on hand to talk to us more about the Skinwalker Ranch next week. Michael Underwood will also be here with us. He's a spiritual teacher, a healer, and a psychic. He's local in Minnesota. He'll be here to discuss with us angels, guides, and reincarnation. So if you have questions, email them in to me at dave@darknessradio.com. Thank you for tuning into the show. Tim and I appreciate it. We look forward to being back with you next week.